The last few weeks, we've looked at the fruit of the Spirit, and in another of Paul's writings, we're reminded of the same sort of sense. It's kind of like how all sermons sound the same. But in the first letter to the church in Corinth, Paul was writing about what it means to be a person of faith. Using more than words, our love must be patient. Love is kind, as Paul wrote. Love is much more than what we talk about at weddings and grade school crushes. It's the lost art of patience, of putting up with one another, enduring the imperfections and eccentricities of the other in order to give them the space and the grace to grow. But I'm not a patient person. I wish I were. I really, really do. I wish I could preach a sermon from experience rather than one I need myself to hear. Because I can't tell you how many nights I have with my little one, Sam, where I'm trying to prepare dinner, and it's like clockwork. The minute I start working at the stove, I hear as he drags a chair from the kitchen, from the dining room, over to the stove. And it's so cute. But dinner prep and cooking takes 3 times as long. I'm terrified he's going to burn himself or cut himself or somehow stick raw chicken in his mouth. I don't know what's going to happen. And some days my patience just isn't there. Most days my patience just isn't there. I think I was more patient when I was younger. I remember when I was young, technology was just starting to creep into our lives, and Commodore 64s, is that the right age group? All right, so Commodore 64s, the precursor to modern computers, were the in thing. But the loading time was unheard of. If you'd never experienced a Commodore 64 before, you would put in what you wanted to play, type it up, get it loaded before dinner. I'm not joking. And then you'd cook dinner and eat dinner, and possibly before bedtime, it would be ready to go if it didn't crash. It's amazing to think that in my lifetime, we've jumped that huge amount in technology. And nowadays, if my computer's a little slow, I can replace it with a newer, faster model. I can send someone a note halfway across the world, and it'll tell me the moment that they've opened it and read it. There's no, like, sending letters for weeks upon end and waiting for a reply. Patience was necessary back then because there was no other way. Abram knew that there was no other way but the way of patience. In a vision, God came to Abram and told him that he would be the father of countless generations, that as many as the stars in the sky were to be his offspring. This isn't a promise that scratches the itch of instant gratification. Instead, God is promising to be with Abram, his family, and his family's family for all time. It's more a story of God's patience than Abram's. For God is patient, and God is kind. God's covenant to Abram is a promise to endure the imperfections and eccentricities of creation in order to give it the space and the grace to grow. And grow it has. From one generation, from one person, has come our 3 major faith movements, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. 4, if you count Baha'i. And it's no wonder that we share the same parentage, because we too often fight like children. We clamor for approval and love and being the one true faith instead of holding our uniqueness like eye color, like a blessing of genetics, resembling our parents and yet distinctly different. And you know what? I grow impatient with the fight between us and in us. I grow impatient with the ignorance that comes with it. I grow impatient knowing that the world doesn't act or believe what I do. In fact, case in point this week was when on campaign trail, Jagmeet Singh, leader of the NDP, was told he should cut his turban off because then he'd look like a Canadian. As a Sikh sings turban or dastar is no different than you and I wearing a cross, or a member of the Jewish faith wearing a yarmulke or a Muslim's hijab. And if you go online to see the video, it's beautiful in a way, because Singh handled the experience with deep patience. But kind of behind it was the fact that he'd done that before and will likely have to do it again. I struggle with that kind of world not being the way it should be. I struggle with the disconnect between treating everybody with respect and finding a way of supporting one another. And yet, you know what gave me hope in that whole mess this week? If you think back to your parents or your parents' parents, would someone like Jagmeet or even Elizabeth May be running? That's phenomenal. And that's not to throw disdain on your generations before you. It's just, we don't marvel at the change that has taken place because we're so enmeshed in it. We don't marvel at the beliefs and how cultures have shifted over time. Yes, life is always two steps forward and one back, but we don't have to look far to see how far we've come. And so I'm going to tell you what has helped me with my patience. First are the words from Genesis. If I take God seriously, this promise is yours and mine as well as Abram's. Here in Genesis 15, God promises to endure our tribalism, our religious denominationalism and distinctions, our imperfections, our eccentricities that come as a result of us being in a system that is undertaking such profound growth and change. Try as you might, you will not exhaust God's patience. I've tried. For God is patient. God is kind. From one generation to the next, and as many generations as there are stars in the sky. Thanks be to God. The second thing that has helped my patience goes a little back before Abram. If our planet is 4.5 billion years old and our solar system about 13.8 billion years, surely I can take the time to cook with my son for that 15 or 30 minutes. Because in the light of the universe, that little blip is immeasurable. And it means the world to him. When held up to the length of the universe, what's another couple of minutes or days? Surely when we're waiting for something or when our patience is being tested, when we're worn out, it feels like the weight of those 4.5 billion years are on our shoulders. And yet patience is learning to live between the tension of what is and what might be. Living in that tension is difficult. And I have no easy words to make it possible, merely the words that were part of our anthem today. The words were found scrawled on the walls of a Jewish internment camp in World War II. The author described patience in terms of belief, believing in that tension of what is and what might be. Because in the midst of that, in that tension, there is the presence of God. The way the poem goes, I believe in the sun, even when it is not shining. I believe in love, even when I cannot feel it. And I believe in God, even when God is silent. There was no more horrible place than in the camps of World War II. But in the midst of that place of horror and evil, still the presence of God endured. May this belief fill your heart as you live in that tension, as it urges you deeper into the present moment of what is, and as it gives you hope for what might be. And so may you know that as countless are the stars, so is God's love for you. Amen.